Joining us now on Kyle Bruston-Dortmund across ESPN Wisconsin is Jason Wilde of Wilde & Tosh, which you can hear 9 to noon across these very stations. Jason, welcome into Kyle Bruston-Dortmund. When's Old T coming back? Not that I haven't enjoyed Wilde & Tosh, but this seems like the most extended vacation I have ever seen in my life.
No, it just feels that way because you've had to listen to me most of the time. And 2 days worth of Jesse without me or Tosh. I think he's supposed to be back tomorrow, but he's definitely been gone longer. Like, he went to France, like, a year or two ago, and then he did, like, a bunch of state park or national parks. So this is nothing. This is amateur hour in terms of his ability to take time off. So we're good. Is it really been 10 years since that first Final Four team of the two that the Badgers went back-to-back? Has it really been 10 years?
It is 10 years, yeah. 10 years removed from college, getting old and, have a child now.
You haven't matured a bit. I'm so proud of you.
I've made a little progress. You don't have to give me a lot, but a little.
A little. Yeah, sure.
I'll take that. But actually, speaking of which, and being a father, as I've listened to you and Tosh over the years, you've obviously talked a little bit about how, the girls go to gymnastic camp and they do different things where they've been able to form relationships with female athletes. And I think it's been really fun knowing that Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and the game happens tonight. I don't know. I just like your perspective, because I think this is bigger than any men's game. And I'm a big college basketball fan. There's no better storyline than LSU and Iowa playing at 6 p.m. tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great storyline. I would argue that NC State and what their men's team has done, and now their women's team also reaching the Final Four, is better. I mean, this is a great matchup. It's a great game. Sydney and I, after she gets done with gymnastics practice, are going to watch the game. But, it's a fantastic matchup. I'm a little disappointed, frankly, that they're in the same regional, and that they won't be meeting in the Final Four, right? After meeting in the championship game a year ago. So it's a great matchup. I will certainly be watching it. But the fact that NC State has both their men's and women's teams in the Final Four when neither one of them were expected to be there, and what I've seen from NC State and their men's team beating Marquette and then beating Duke and Christian Leitner Lights yesterday, I think they're a fantastic story. And DJ Burns, who does not look like your prototypical big man, I just think he's been so much fun to watch. He seems like a effervescent personality, different than Kim Mulkey. He's been really fun to watch too. So I'm really eager to see the Final Four for the men, but I will definitely be watching tonight, and I'm eager to see how Caitlin Clark and LSU do battle. I said this morning on our show. I like LSU's players. I don't like LSU's coach. She seems like a bully. She seems like Bob Knight, and I didn't like Bob Knight either.
Jason, switching gears to the Green Bay Packers. Last week, Matt LaFleur said something to the effect of, "We have a better plan than we did last year," in reference to the chaotic offseason and all the youth. I believe you wrote an article about something like this as well. My question is, what does Matt LaFleur mean by that? And then what should our expectations be as the season begins because he says that?
What do you mean you believe I wrote an article about it?
I was thinking the exact same thing.
I saw it. And I was, as I asked the question, I was like, I'm 99% sure that was Jason.
Is there a paywall, Jason?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, but you have to pay for quality product.
I know. I was just checking.
It's a premium product.
I'll just set you guys my password, I guess.
Thank you, Jason.
Oh, wonderful.
I love sharing passwords, but I support the Wisconsin
bucks.
State.
Come on, guys.
No, I got Jason. I love him having a job.
I was going to say, did you need my Netflix password, too?
I will take that, yes.
Because I know Tony Cartagena used to do that. And I think they caught on to Tony. Look, I just thought it was really interesting. There were a bunch of things that Matt LaFleur talked about at the NFL meetings. The most interesting one, to me anyway, was finding out that they were switching out Aaron Jones and replacing him with Josh Jacobs after the fact, basically, and that he was blindsided by the switch. That one really, I thought, was interesting. But the other one was this idea of how they can approach the offseason. I mean, think about where we were a year ago. Rodgers had emerged from the darkness. He had learned, allegedly, that the Packers were shopping him. The conversations were focused on who has the leverage as they tried to figure out what the trade compensation would be. And Alan Lazard had already signed with the Jets. Randall Cobb was not coming back. They had a couple of rookies that had played extensively as rookies, although they both dealt with injury issues in Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson. But they really didn't know what their offense was going to look like. And, oh, by the way, they were moving toward a quarterback whose two most significant playing time opportunities had been a very poor performance, regardless of Matt LaFleur trying to take the blame for it, against Kansas City, and an outstanding 10-snap cameo at Philadelphia in the 2022 season. And so you had a new starter, a quarterback, and you didn't even know who the hell was going to be playing wide receiver or tight end for you. And now fast forward a year, and all those young wide receivers and the two tight ends have a ton of experience. You know that Jordan Love doesn't stink. He might have some growing pains still ahead of him. He might have some inconsistent moments, but you know he's a pretty good quarterback, and we'll see how great he turns out. So it just changes the entire offseason dynamic and what the coaches are able to do in terms of game planning. They now know what all these guys do better. They can structure their offseason program to build from a schematic standpoint their playbook off of what they already have in the playbook, and they've seen these guys master. I mean, remember, for the first half of the season, too, they were just trying to figure out what plays they could call that the guys would, A, remember, and B, execute. And so they're just in such a different place, and that should breed all kinds of confidence and optimism for people like Kyle Wallace.
Jason, I like that. And I've got a question for you about optimism as well. But remember, everybody, we're speaking with Jason Wildy. You can hear Jason Wildy every weekday on Wildy and Tausch, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on ESPN Wisconsin. Now, Jason, optimism is a good word to describe me as. But one thing I'm trying to ask you is this, though. Jake Bates. Have you heard the name?
If I have, I've never heard his name delivered that way. So I'm going to have to say I'm not quite sure.
Well, Jake Bates is the kicker for the Michigan Panthers.
He knows who Jake Bates is.
Okay, so here it is, Jason. So basically, like, Anders Carlson, he was a failure, right? It's a failure. Like, we should just cut him and just sign Jake Bates. Like, what are we waiting for?
I enjoy minor league spring football as much as anyone. That said, I don't think Anders Carlson's ability to kick from very far away is our concern, right? It's his inconsistency as a intermediate kicker, right? Is that fair to say our criticism would be, you know, from about 33 yards where the extra point is kicked from to about 50 yards?
I ain't seen him hit nothing.
He should be better there.
I haven't seen him hit 60-plus either.
Jake Bates. Look, here's my feeling about kickers in general, and I don't care if they have to do it with the Birmingham Stallions or the Michigan Panthers or a minor league team. I think the Saints' new kicker is like coming over from Ireland or something like that, right? And isn't that I go to the specialist, the longtime NFL punter, to fact check me on that. But my point is that, you know, I still, and I've told you guys this before, I want my kickers to have already gone through the growing pains playing for someone else, whether that's in the UFL or in the Canadian League or for another NFL team, right? I thought things worked out pretty well with Daniel Whelan, their punter from Ireland, this past year, right? He'd kicked in I don't remember if it was the XFL or the USFL. He was in one of the two spring leagues last year. And he came in and he was pretty good. He faded a little bit down the stretch, but I thought he was pretty good. And so I'm when it comes to Anders Carlson, they've got two other kickers now that they have in for competition with him. Obviously, Greg Joseph has kicked in the league for multiple years. But if you're in the I want to get rid of Anders Carlson crowd, I have news for you. Greg Joseph's numbers were not any better, right? So I just think it's you have to get through all the early career struggles with someone like Anders. And then once he figures out how to kick in the league, then you're hoping that that's going to be the almost automatic that Mason Crosby was for most of his time in Green Bay. But I'm not losing too. Are you losing sleep over Anders Carlson?
Oh, yeah. He's got nightmares.
Of course he is.
I truly feel like we're a field goal kick away from going to the NFC Championship game.
So who's haunting you more in your nightmares now, Anders Carlson or Greg Gard?
Oh, I'm not going to lie. Greg Gard gives him a nerves because of the fact that, you know, we're not winning with him. He seems like a great guy. But no.
We covered that ground yesterday. Yeah.
You said what now?
He heard you on Sunday Carbo.
Oh, yes.
Where are you today?
I couldn't hear him. I couldn't hear him. But no. It is definitely Anders Carlson. It is definitely, because I'm just upset at the fact that I can't go another season if he fails us again next year, and then all of a sudden we're trying to go to a Super Bowl, but then he misses field goals, and that is the reason that's holding this young team back when we have our Super Bowl window. That will be very disappointing. We cannot let him be the Achilles heel.
So let's say he wins the job and keeps his job, and he misses a critical kick, does that change your view on Goody, who had in the rest of the 2023 draft, by all accounts, including my own, a really strong draft? If he sticks with a kicker and then he misses in a critical moment again, like he did against San Francisco, how will that change your view of the general manager?
I'll be disappointed that he didn't make the tough move to get rid of Anders. Anders is going to have to prove it. I hope that it's his real competition that they brought in. I hope they just didn't bring anybody in to challenge him, but he has a leg up. I hope that it's a real competition where if he does not kick better than these other kickers, he will not have a job here next year.
Yeah, and my thought is I hope that this plays out the same way it did in 2013 in training camp, which is even longer ago than that first Final Four of those back-to-back Badgers teams, when they brought in Giorgio Tavecchio to compete with Mason Crosby coming off of that bad 2012 season. And Giorgio was just – he's probably the most, like, positive, upbeat, effervescent personality that we've had come through, especially at least for specialists. I mean, we've had some pretty good characters throughout the years and me covering this team, but Giorgio was just unfailingly positive. And he had, even though I think they wanted Mason Crosby to win that competition and keep his job, and he did, Giorgio had a huge impact on Mason, who then turned around and had his best year of his career to that point, earned back all the money he'd taken a pay cut from after the 2012 season. And he credited Giorgio, who, I mean, you knew there wasn't a real competition when Mike McCarthy didn't know his actual first name and called him Sergio instead of Giorgio. So was that a real competition? I mean, sort of. But if that's what the two guys that they have in now for Anders Carlson are going to serve that purpose of helping him refocus and motivate him and have that in-person challenge during the off season and during training camp to force him to improve, because if he doesn't, then he does lose out to one of those guys, then he'll be out of a job. I think that'll be worth it. So I don't care, you know, if I'm a Packers fan, I don't care who the kicker is. I don't care if it's George Blanda resurrected after Easter. Like, I want somebody who's going to kick consistently. And if that's the draft pick from last year, Anders Carlson, nice young fella, great. If it's somebody else, great. But you're right. If you're a Packers fan, you just want somebody that makes the 41-yard field goal with 6 minutes left with a trip to the NFC Championship game on the line.
Jason, we appreciate the insight. Giorgio's a sick name, by the way. I wish I was as cool to be named Giorgio. But I'm
the second Bruss child. Next Bruss child.
Giorgio Bruss. Jason, thank you for the time, and we will talk to you Thursday.
All right, sounds good, guys. Take care.